You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Welcome back to the Mark Reardon Show. Brad Young sitting in today on a glorious Friday afternoon. Glad you are with us and glad you could make time to hang out with 97.1 FM Talk. And I promised you at the top of last hour, I said this is going to be some of the best radio you've ever heard. Now, I think I've kept my promise so far, and I'm going to continue keeping that promise because joining us is John Merline. He's a senior editor at the Heritage Foundation. And John, first of all, welcome to 97.1 FM Talk.
Hey, it's great to be here. I hope I don't disappoint your listeners, though, and wreck your streak.
Oh, you won't, sir. I promise you. Because, first of all, I got to tell you, I read the Daily Signal every single day. It's one of those first top five websites I get to in the morning when I'm drinking coffee and I'm half awake. I always go through that first thing. And I caught your article over there called Making Automobiles Great Again. And this has been something that I have been championing for so many years about the problems of how that when the government tries to run our manufacturing, it only runs it into the ground. And so you make some great points in your article, and I don't think that anyone is really aware of this because it's not getting the kind of attention it deserves. First of all, let's talk about what the CAFE standards are and how they were impacted by the recent Big Beautiful Bill.
Okay, so you got to back up and go way back to 1975 when Congress, in a panic over the Arab oil embargo, and if you were around at the time, there were all these claims that we were running out of oil. And so they passed this Energy Policy and Conservation Act, and one of the things it did was it gave the Department of Transportation the authority to say to automakers, of all the cars that you sell in a given year, the average miles per gallon has to be set whatever we say it has to be. So it started out at 18 miles per gallon. It went up to 26 miles per gallon very quickly, and it's now over 30 miles per gallon. So that means if GM sells of all the cars, the government goes in at the end of the year and says, okay, the average is 37 miles per gallon. So you owe us money. If you miss the standard, you have to pay a fine to the federal government.
And to some extent, I mean, I'm a very proud capitalist. All right, I'm a business owner, and when I look at that, it drives me crazy, John, because we see how when the government gets involved with this, it's resulted in cars that may have better gas mileage. But overall, we can't really say these cars are better, particularly from a safety standpoint, can we?
No, and I'll tell you, the history of these standards is really terrible. Now, environmentalists love them. These consumer advocates like Ralph Nader think they're great. But the truth is that when they were first implemented, what Detroit had to do in order to not pay massive fines was to radically downsize all their cars. So, for example, if you drove a Cadillac DeVille that was made in 1974 versus a DeVille made in 1977, they were two entirely different cars. The, The 1977 version was 1,000 pounds lighter and was 8 inches shorter, 9 inches shorter. And this happened across the board because the only way to meet these standards was to make cars smaller and lighter. Now, that had a real safety impact. In fact, the National Research Council put out a report in 2002 that said it cost thousands of lives a year. Now, this was in this before 2002. And another study said it could have raised fatalities by 27% in 1985, and that was when cars were being shrunk down. Now, the impact since then is a little different because it's very complicated, but as anything the government does, it complicates matters. So in their genius, they said, well, gee, we're gonna make car makers meet a certain mile per gallon standard, but we have to have a different standard for trucks because, you know, they're trucks, pickup trucks. And so they did that. Well, the auto industry said, well, gee, an SUV is considered a truck. It's on a truck bed. A minivan is considered a truck because it's on a truck bed. So we'll start making those. So while regular cars were shrinking, I don't know if you're old enough to remember, but as a kid, we had a station wagon. I think every suburban family had a station wagon.
Oh, yeah.
So they don't exist anymore, only because these mileage standards made it impossible to sell station wagons. So what do? They started selling minivans and SUVs. So people still got big cars that didn't get very good gas mileage, by the way, but that also had a safety effect because, as anybody knows, SUVs and trucks are very big vehicles, much bigger than all the cars that are now on the road. And so when a car hits an SUV, who wins? Well, the SUV wins.
Mm-hmm.
So even there, you have an adverse safety effect. But beyond that, it's just the fact that consumers aren't allowed to choose and manufacturers aren't allowed to make cars that people actually want to drive because they're saying mileage is more important than anything else. And we know better.
We do.
So we're going to tell you how to.
Yeah, we're talking to John Merline. He's a senior editor at the Heritage Foundation. He wrote this piece called Making Automobiles Great Again for the Daily Signal. And John, before we talk about what's happened to the CAFE standards, I want to set the table with this additional point, because more recently, particularly under the Biden administration, the way these CAFE standards, and that's the corporate average fuel economy standards, have been ratcheted up. I mean, for years, my understanding is that when you could increase it, the industry responded by making cars more fuel efficient, but there was a limit to that. And so now that the CAFE standards have been jacked up even higher under the Biden administration, it functionally meant that car manufacturers had to primarily just sell electric vehicles. Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's right. And the reason is because, according to the EPA, an electric car gets what they call a MPGE, miles per gallon equivalent, of like 100 miles per gallon. This is a very dubious measure, but for automakers, like, well, if we sold one electric car and we could sell two other cars that get worse mileage and still meet that goal. And so that was the exact purpose of both under Obama and under Biden of cranking up these miles per gallon mandates was to force electric cars onto the market.
Well, and the problem is, when you look at it from a consumer standpoint, is that all three of the big three automakers retooled to make electric vehicles in order to meet these arbitrary government standards, when in reality, people don't want that many electric cars. And so after sales plummeted, isn't it the case that the big three kind of had an epiphany and said, wow, we're making cars based upon what the government tells us what to do instead of making cars that the public wants, and our sales are going down?
That's exactly right. You had electric cars piling up on dealer lots. The dealers were begging the Biden administration to back off these standards because they were filled up with EVs that they couldn't sell. And yes, the automakers all came out and said, we're going 100% electric by 2035. And now they're all saying, well, maybe not.
Because we want to still keep selling cars.
Right. I mean, people don't like now, some people like electric cars, and that's fine. But there are a lot of people for whom they're not practical. And so there's no reason why the federal government should say, if you want a means of transportation, you have to buy an expensive, hard to maintain electric car, and one that you might have trouble finding a charger for. And so it's up to the consumer to make those decisions.
Absolutely. Not the government telling car companies what they can or cannot build. And the other thing that just makes me laugh, John, is when I see that these people are basically virtue signaling by driving electric cars, saying that they're being great for the environment, but the batteries that are in those cars are horrendous on the environment because of the destruction of land and what goes into the waterways, particularly in China, when those batteries are constructed. Isn't that also the case?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a whole lot of problems with electric cars. That's one of them. The other, of course, is that a lot of the materials that we need to make batteries come from countries that employ slave labor.
Oh,
so,
my goodness.
You know, that's kind of the hidden dark side of electric cars. I just wanted to, before I forget, so what Congress did in the One Big Beautiful Bill was, because it was very hard to get rid of these regulations, and so they were unbelievably smart. They said, hey, well, we'll keep the regulation in place, but we'll just make the fine $0. So if a car company misses the federal miles per gallon standard, it pays nothing. And that's Chrysler last year paid $119 million in fines.
Wow.
And so it basically gets rid of this 50-year-old CAFE standard in one fell swoop. And this is what they did with the Obamacare mandate. They said, well, you know, the mandate's still on the law. You're legally obligated to have insurance, but there's no penalty to not having insurance.
Correct.
And so that's what they did with CAFE standards. I think it was a stroke of genius. What amazes me is that it's gotten no coverage
at all. And that's why I wanted to reach out to you, John, because before I read your article in the dailysignal.com, I knew nothing about this. And it's so groundbreaking from the perspective of government unleashing private manufacturing instead of corralling and hamstringing manufacturing in a way that hurts us compared to our competitors. We've got just a few seconds here. We got about 30 seconds left here, John. But I want to ask you, how will this, in your opinion, how will this impact the auto industry moving forward?
Well, one can only hope that it means return of the beautiful, magnificent cars that we used to be able to buy, like the Mustang, which was an awesome car, or even the Cadillac with the fins. Cars used to be things of beauty. Now they all look exactly the same.
Yes.
And they're boring as hell. If manufacturers, take this opportunity and say, we can actually design beautiful cars again, I think that would be fantastic.
Me too, and I hope they follow your advice. John Merline, senior editor at the Heritage Foundation. Also, you write at thedailysignal.com. Again, that's a website I go to not just every day, but multiple times throughout the day. Thank you so much for joining us here on 97.1 FM Talk.
Thank you so much.
This to me was fantastic news, and I'm so glad that John wrote about it, because otherwise I may not have known about it. It was buried.
Did you know anything about the no fine? That was kind of a genius way around it.
Genius way.
I had not heard that.
Genius way. I didn't know it until I saw that from the dailysignal.com. Hey, we're going to take a break here, and when we come back, I want to talk about an issue that I've been highlighting, a legal constitutional issue that I've been highlighting for the better part of 20 years, has now been resolved. And again, no one's talking about it. It's coming out of the Ninth Circuit. It deals with the Second Amendment. I'll break it down for you next, right here on the Mark Reardon Show. Brad Young sitting in today, 97.1 FM Talk. St. Louis Conservative, 97.1 FM Talk. Brad Young sitting in today for Mark Reardon. Glad you are with us. And let me set the table here, because for years, I've been pointing out this issue with the Second Amendment. Everybody knows about the Second Amendment. Whether you own a gun or you not don't own a gun, everyone's familiar with the right to bear arms. And so I pointed out, going back to the 90s, now that I think about it, my goodness, I pointed out that I was concerned that the left would jump on this idea that even though the Second Amendment protects your right to bear arms, it doesn't say that you have a right to buy ammunition.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. So my concern for decades, even after the Supreme Court cases of New York versus Bruin and some of the other big cases that came out from the Supreme Court stating that you as an individual citizen have a right to own a firearm. It's not some collective right like we have a right to have an army, and if you're drafted by the army, they can give you a gun. That's preposterous. The first 10 amendments to the Constitution are all about personal rights. So why would you have a right to join the army and carry a gun in the Second Amendment? It's just preposterous. But my concern is that even though you have a right to have a gun, if you have some left-leaning states, you've got the People's Republic of California, you've got all these other very blue states like Illinois right next door that make it so difficult to buy ammunition that they could see that as an end run. They could see ammunition as the weakest link in the process and say, you can have all the guns you want, but we're just not going to let you have any ammunition, which would negate
yeah.
the right to own guns. I grew up in Southern Illinois, and in Illinois, you have to have something called a firearm owner's identification card.
Okay.
You're not allowed to buy ammunition anywhere unless you have this firearms owner's identification card. And if you go to the Walmart in Granite City and you buy it, I'm from Missouri, they won't let me buy ammo there because I no longer have my card.
I see.
Okay, so they restrict it. They heavily restrict this concept of buying ammunition as a way of regulating guns. It's an end around.
Jeez.
Very sneaky.
Yes.
And so that's why, and again, this isn't getting any press like we talked about last segment with the CAFE standards being essentially neutered in the Big Beautiful Bill. There was a case that came out this week out of the Ninth Circuit. Now, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, you want to talk about historical precedent here. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has, for the better part of 75 years, been the most liberal of all the federal districts.
Oh, wow.
And so all of the crazy, crackpot, kooky cases that would come out of the Court of Appeals would always come out of the Ninth Circuit. It got so bad that people in legal circles started referring to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals as the Ninth Circus Court of Appeals. Because it was that bad. But because of some of the nominations that Trump did during his first term, that is now starting to turn around. So this week, There was a California law that was challenged, and the California law essentially made it so you could not buy ammunition unless you jump through this confiscatorily, bureaucratically enhanced minefield of trying to buy ammunition. And of course, the point was very clear. You can have all the guns you want, but we're not going to allow you to have ammunition.
So crazy.
And so someone challenged it, but it wasn't just someone. It was an Olympian, a gold medal winner, Kim Rhodes, who has Olympic medals for trap and skeet shooting. And has gone to the Olympics to show that, you know, guns aren't just used for bad purposes.
Right.
They're used for good purposes. And in fact, they're used, speaking of good purposes, I got to chase a rabbit on this one. But I think it was in Wisconsin earlier this week where the guy went to the Walmart and started stabbing people.
Yes.
I think it was in Wisconsin. And did you see the video, Sue, of how he was apprehended?
No.
It was a regular citizen carrying a pistol for his own protection.
Good guy with a gun.
And when he saw this deranged maniac stabbing people in Walmart in the parking lot, the perpetrator ran out in the parking lot. The Good Samaritan citizen with a pistol came out, pointed the gun at him, told him to drop the knife and get on the ground until the cops showed up.
Holy cow, it was Michigan.
It was Michigan. So, what a guy.
Yeah.
And if he
good guy with a gun.
And if he would have gone up to the guy with a stick, it wouldn't have been.
Nope.
A stick isn't going to make you give up, okay?
Mm-mm.
So I applaud that Good Samaritan citizen who went up there. And you want to talk about, people say, oh, you're trying to make it racial. In the case in Michigan, the perpetrator was white. The maniac was white, and the Good Samaritan was black.
Good.
And I applaud him.
Which should not be relevant, but somehow, yes.
But, the race baiters are always trying to make race to come into the equation when it really shouldn't.
Which also, yes, it shows that, of course, it's not inanimate objects that are doing anything.
No, it's people.
Yes.
It's people.
Correct.
It's like I can't sue my fork for making me fat, you
right.
know? It's not the fork that adds the extra weight. It's me.
Right.
Shoveling the food in my pie hole that makes me put on weight, it's not nothing to do with the fork. But anyway, I digress. But going back...
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Back to this case coming out of the Ninth Circuit. It was a 2-1 decision. And the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that the law was unconstitutional on its face because, and this is the key language here, because, and I'm quoting here, it is not consistent with the nation's historical tradition of firearm regulation, unquote. And what that does is that goes back to the Supreme Court decision in 2022, which is called New York State Rifle and Pistol versus Bruin, which said that we have a right to bear arms because of the historical tradition of using firearms as self-protection for hunting and for recreation.
There you go.
And so now the Court of Appeals has said, we're going to use that same language to say you can't ban ammunition because of the historical tradition associated with the use of firearms, which is protected by the Second Amendment.
That's great.
That's fantastic. So now they have, the Court of Appeals has eliminated that, what I thought was an obvious loophole in the Second Amendment, because the framers couldn't envision wacko progressives. They couldn't envision that we had to say, not only do you have a right to bear arms, but by the way, you have the right to ammunition too.
Right.
But they didn't think that through, because they didn't know we would have goofballs like Mamdani coming in and becoming elected officials.
Exactly.
So I applaud the Ninth Circuit. I don't see this case going to the Supreme Court, but once again, the courts are standing up to protect your individual rights. Hey, we have to take a break here. When we come back from the break, we've got the audio cut of the day. Actually, we're going to talk to Nick Fondacaro first from Newsbusters to talk about The View. So,
uh-oh.
No screeching allowed. Talking about The View next here on 97.1 FM Talk. Welcome back. Welcome back to St. Louis Conservative, 97.1 FM Talk. Brad Young in today for Mark Reardon. Glad you are sticking around with us because I've been looking forward to this all day. Have you ever watched The View? I try not to because I'm truly afraid it's going to trigger some sort of a seizure. So I try not to watch it, but I do watch some clips from the seizure. From the show. From the show, The View. And there's absolutely no truth to the rumor that when the hosts of The View are on vacation, they go back to their full time jobs, luring sailors with their songs to crash into rocks and things around Greece. That's false. That's fake. There's no truth to that. But to set us straight here and to make this far more interesting, Nick Fondacaro, Newsbusters Associate Editor. Hey, Nick, good afternoon, sir.
Thanks for having me on, Brad. Man, you had me rolling over here.
Well, it's worth exactly what you paid for it, my friend. But listen, The View, you had a great story today that, and I've never actually done the math. You did the math. And the math is that for The View for 2025, they've had 102 total guests. And of those 102 total guests, zero were conservative and 100% of their guests were liberal. Is that right?
Yeah. So that 102 guests, that is the total liberal guests. Those are the guests that have, when they had a guest on and politics was discussed, that is the total liberal guests. Of the total guests that they have on was 224. So little less than half of them, political discussions were had, and all of them were liberal. None of them were conservative.
Mm. And I guess it's obvious, but I'm going to ask you anyway, why is that?
It's definitely because the name The View is more than just the name of the show. It is how the show runs. It is, they only allow the left-leaning view. So basically, with that breakdown of 102 liberal guests, 19 of them were Democratic politicians. None of them were Republican politicians. You had four former Democratic staffers and one head of a liberal organization, GLAAD, who was there to give them a media reward for speaking with a transgender actress.
Well, isn't there, and again, forgive me because I don't normally watch it, which is actually going to be a question for you in just a moment, but isn't there like a token conservative that's on the show?
Yes. You have Alyssa Farrah Griffin, who is one of the co-hosts. Who is there, and she's kind of more of an empty seat. She recently said that, like, being the one conservative here, it leaves her crying most days. And she says she's cried at work several times, and she goes and hides in the corners. And she says it sort of stems from her being one of the only conservatives there. And basically, she's not really doing anything to even, or at least it doesn't appear to be doing anything, to try to get them to have conservative folks on the show.
See, I would love that environment, to be in that environment, Nick, because I call that a target-rich environment. When I was in law school, before I was in law school, I was in a class in college, and it was all liberals, all progressives, and me. And I'm not kidding you. The teacher said, "Brad, you understand you're the only person in this room who's conservative." And I said, "Yeah, well, go out and get an extra 25 people who are liberals, and maybe 50 against one would be a fair fight." But the point is it seems like with all of that, she would have so much opportunity to fire back, but I'm not sure she takes it. We're talking to Nick Fondacaro of Newsbusters. Here's the big question. Why is it that the View gets what I would call an outsized place of importance, given the fact that the ratings aren't necessarily spectacular in any way?
So they're actually under the ABC News umbrella. They're not an ABC Entertainment property or a Disney Entertainment property. They're under the news umbrella, so that gives them access to a lot more of the marketing, a lot more of the ability to sort of hype themselves up. And believe it or not, they actually are fairly popular with ratings. They are routinely one of the top-rated daytime talk shows. And that's part of the reason why we focus on them here at Newsbusters, is because they have this influence, and somebody needs to be going out there and being like, pointing out, hey, you guys are saying this wrong, that wrong. And I know I know nobody outside of journalism who pretty much writes about them, watches the show, but they have millions of viewers, and in a country of over 330 million people, there's definitely going to be people that like them to some degree. And this is one of those instances where, like, their fans are fairly enthusiastic. They're there at home during the day, then they're not going to sleep. It's like with, like, late night, where you're combating not just the like different entertainment options. You're fighting people's natural urge to go to sleep. This is in the middle of the day. So they do have the ability to get a wide audience.
Well, it seems to me like, though, the audience who's watching this show, Nick, is really, they should be called the Confirmation Bias Club, because they're just watching The View to validate their own progressive, misguided viewpoints.
That's exactly what it's all about. Like, Whoopi makes no bones about it. She has gotten into a couple discussions on the show, live on air, where she has defended The View being a talking, like a vector for Democratic talking points. She got into a back and forth kind of an argument with Stephen A. Smith a few months ago, or like just earlier this year, where he was talking about the Democratic messaging being a problem. And she was just like, no, we did our part here. Like, we did the messaging, like arguing on behalf of the show that we did our part in the election. And she's talked about how Walls was talking about like the future of the Democratic Party. And she's just like, oh, like talking to the rest of the table of how are they going to be part of getting the next Democratic leaders to step up.
Wow. And we're talking to Nick Fondacaro, a Newsbusters associate editor. And Nick, and maybe you're just speculating here or spitballing, but from the perspective of ABC, it seems like this could be a potential problem if it's under the news division, because all of the mainstream news media, they always go out of their way to say, oh, we're fair and balanced. We are middle of the road. We don't take a political position or an ideological position. And they say that publicly, and then, of course, privately, they're not. So how does ABC ever make any apologies for supporting something that's blatantly progressive or liberal at its best, and justifying that as being part of the news program portion of ABC?
So the executive producer of the show, Brian Tetta, has argued that basically on their podcast, he's argued that they're sort of like the editorial side of a newspaper. So you have a news organization that has the news site and the opinion site, and they're sort of like the editorial page, which is how they're able to, at least in their mind, sort of get away with just being very partisan to the left. A couple months ago, it was reported that ABC executives had given The View a talking to, basically saying, you guys got to tone down your rhetoric because it's getting to a point where it's looking like it's going to harm the reputation, could get us into legal trouble. And so far, it seems like they're really not listening, which sort of opens the cast members up to be having the Terry Moran standard applied to them, which is what we saw earlier this year. And you were pointing out this could be a major problem for them, because one of the other things that I've discovered with my study, they had zero legal notes all year. This is something that they're very known for. If they say something crazy, wild, make an accusation, typically Sonny Hostin will pop in with a legal note. They have done zero legal notes this year, despite making claims like Trump rigged the last election.
So explain that for a second, because the way you set this up, Nick, is that in years past, and correct me if I'm wrong in what I heard you say, but in years past, when they would say things that are legally questionable, Sonny Hostin would come in and give them a note from legal to say, you know, you got to dial that back. It's not supportable. But the fact that they're not getting those notes this year, does that imply that ABC is unshackling The View and saying, do whatever the heck you want? As long as you have good ratings, we don't care what kind of progressive slop that you're spreading, as long as the ratings are good. Is that kind of what I'm hearing you say?
It seems more like they might be doing it on their own, because we do know that they had gotten the talking to by the executive saying, you guys have to tone this down. And we saw that Terry Moran was fired, a longtime ABC News correspondent was fired for saying outrageous things. It did sweeten the deal for ABC that his contract was coming up. So perhaps in the future, if contracts are coming up for any of these hosts, they might let them lapse and find somebody new. But basically, so far, they, like in the past too, they have defended their use of legal notes. They've called them, like, they've praised them as like, oh, this is us living up to ABC News's standards as a news outlet, that we're under those same type of standards, that we are held accountable when we say something wrong and we come on and correct it. And they were saying that just this past November, Joy Behar argued that that was one of the big reasons people loved the show. And meanwhile, they come back from their Christmas, their winter break, like their Christmas hiatus, and all of a sudden now they're no longer doing the legal notes.
Interesting. You know, Nick, I want to tell you, we hear the left often use this trite phrase of speaking truth to power, and I always just roll my eyes when I hear that phrase. But buddy, you're doing it, because nobody else is keeping track of what nuttiness goes on at The View, and you're doing that, and I want to tell you, thank you. If folks want to follow what you write at Newsbusters on any subject, whether it's The View or anything else, how can they find you?
Well, I just want to say I really appreciate your kind words there, and then I think for your listeners, they can go to newsbusters.org.
Newsbusters.org.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Org. Thank you, sir. Nick Fondacaro, Associate Editor at Newsbusters. Great to talk to you, sir.
Thanks for having me on.
Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk about progressive liberal nuttiness. We're going to have the audio cut of the day, and I'm going to tell you not just that Mamdani in New York is a nut, okay? We know that, but his ideas are actually dangerous. And I'm going to break down those ideas, not just sling names, but to discuss the ideas behind the names next on St. Louis Conservative 97.1. FM Talk. Well, we're winding down here to the final segment here on the Mark Reardon Show. Brad Young sitting in for Mark, who will be hopefully coming back very soon, just taking some time off for some personal issues, and he'll go over all of that when he returns. So thanks for your concerns and prayers. I know he appreciates it. Hey, one of the things we talked about earlier in the show, we talked about it during the Reardonless Roundtable, was this idea of Mamdani. And I've had lots of talks with my liberal friends about how he could actually be influencing our country. And I always get the same response. Oh, he's in New York. New York's its own thing. Don't worry about it. But I do worry about it. And here's why. I guess worry isn't the right word, but I'm concerned. And here's why. If let's put it in a different context. If there were someone from San Diego who started a trend nationwide that said bloodletting is actually good for your health, and if you want to get healthy, you need to start slicing your veins to let out that evil blood and you will feel better. You know, that was very popular in the Middle Ages, bloodletting. And I never understood why people went to barbers for medical care, but maybe it's because bloodletting, if you're going to do bloodletting, you'll see anybody for your medical care. But I would be concerned about that, because I would say that's a dangerous trend.
Right.
We don't want people doing bloodletting, because it's going to kill people and it's going to make us better. It's going to make us worse off because of the idea of bloodletting. Well, I'm being facetious, But I see socialism as being on the same plane as bloodletting, because it kills our economy. It kills our desire to work. It kills our desire to have purpose. It kills our desire to achieve. It kills our desire to improve and to build and to grow and to prosper.
Yes.
And so that is a dangerous idea. And because Mamdani is articulate, he's attractive, he's actually wealthy, so figure that one out.
Ugh.
And you put all that together in a package, I find it to be dangerous. For example, here's an audio clip of some of his past positions, which spoke about the things he really wants, and his current positions that he's saying in an effort to get elected. That's number 15.
When we talk about defund the NYPD, the entirety of the push is defund the NYPD and refund all of these different social services and things that actually create safety.
The vision that we've put forward in this campaign, despite what others may say, is not to defund the police. It is, in fact, to allow those officers to respond to these serious crimes that many of them signed up to address.
What?
Right. So you saw this is a total flip-flop.
Yes.
It's a total flip-flop.
And do you notice that it's the wealthy people who run and say, oh, we don't need police. We'll just have social services, because they haven't ever had to deal with actual crime.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, what are you talking about? If there is a person up there in a neighborhood that is overrun with crime or it's a problem, who cares? They don't care. They don't know. They haven't experienced it. It just makes me nuts.
Right. Whenever I had my show over on Camo X in the evenings, I had a lot of black folks would call in when I was talking about this idea of defunding the police.
Oh.
And they would call in and say, we don't want the police to be defunded because we need their help.
Correct.
So we don't get shot.
Yep.
Okay. So I reject this idea that it's a race issue. But the other issue, so defund the police. He was previously for it. We know he's still for it.
Of course.
But he's distancing himself from it because he's trying to get elected. But there's something that he's not distancing himself from, and that's this. He's arguing that New Yorkers should adopt a $30 an hour minimum wage in New York.
That's complete insanity. Okay.
So whenever I hear these kinds of arguments, I always say, why stop at 30?
Just right.
Make it $500 an hour. Make everybody making the same bill and the same hourly rate as attorneys. Let's bill them at $500 an hour for making cheeseburgers. What would that do? Well, it would make cheeseburgers cost $1,000.
Yep.
If the people are making $500. So once you get someone to agree that making $500 an hour as a minimum wage is absurd and would crash the economy, $30 an hour will do the same thing.
Yep.
And we don't have to speculate on that, because California just raised it to $20 an hour in 2023. A study just came out of the Texas A&M University and the University of California, San Diego. And out of that study, it said that there was a 3.2% decline in California employment among fast food workers because they had to close their facilities.
See?
It resulted in the loss of 18,000 jobs by raising it up to $20 an hour.
Now, did anybody in California acknowledge that?
No.
Of course not.
No, of course they didn't. There's no way they would acknowledge that. But the result of these ideas to say, let's make it $30 an hour. Let's make it $50 an hour. Okay, pick a number. But when you have government-forced minimum wage, it's the same problem as we talked about earlier with the CAFE standards. We don't want government controlling our businesses.
Right.
How has that worked in Cuba? How has that worked in Venezuela? How has that worked in Vietnam?
Right.
It's atrocious when governments run businesses. They run them into the ground. And that's why we must reject Mamdani, not just because of who he is, because I don't care who he is. I care about his ideas.
Right.
And his ideas are about as healthy as bloodletting. Hey, I want to end on that note. When's the last time you heard the word bloodletting?
It's been a while.
It has been a while. thanks for letting me hang out with the cool kids here on St. Louis Conservative 97.1 FM Talk. As I said earlier, Mark is on a bit of a personal, taking some personal time off. We wish him well while he's off. He's okay. Nothing's harmed. He's not been in a car accident, but he will be back shortly. And when he does, we will welcome him back and he'll talk about his leave of absence. In the meantime, I'm going to try to squeeze in some more time sooner, like next week, if I can fit it into my schedule. So I look forward to being with you.
Great.
Brad Young, right here on St. Louis Conservative 97.1 FM Talk.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.